A new government department lowering the voting age to 16 and a new anthem for all sports are among over 50 measures suggested in a new report by the Ulster University to reduce sectarianism. It said that sectarianism, both religious and political, shows no sign of going away. How sad is that? This corrosive element that goes through our society, no sign of going away. Religious and political sectarianism. Do we need, for example, a new, as this report suggests, universal sports anthem to bring us all together? 0330 80 55 55. The commentators Phil Kelly and Malachy O'Doherty with us this morning. Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Malachy.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Phil. Malachy, first of all, before we get into this, do you recognise how much sectarianism still permeates our society here?
Yes, I think so. I mean, on one level, at a very, very benign level, I would have to be careful how I say this, but I would have friends who are Protestant who every so often make a wee joke, you know, to notice that I am, inverted commas, Catholic, you know. That happens. The people that you've known for years and get on well with and don't have any difficulty with still kind of in their humour will throw that up, you know, and you wonder, you know, is that a little bit of a needle? Is it a residue of a deeper sectarian tendency from maybe an earlier time in their life? Or am I provoking it in some way that I'm not even conscious of? You know, there's that. On the other level, I remember last year, for instance, I went over to cover the confrontation between loyalists supporting the Israeli team in Northern Ireland, in Belfast, and the pro-Palestinian protesters who'd come down from the falls. And when I went over to talk to the loyalists, they recognised me from having seen me on the Nolan Show, plug, and said, away back to your own side, Malachy, you know. So a total assumption, no matter what I've ever said on radio or TV, on a wide range of issues, a very natural, easy assumption that Malachy's just a Tuaig anyway, you know. So I'm up against that, you know. And so there's that spectrum of the thing, to the hard edge, to the kind of very benign, and there's shades in between. But I still think that at heart, when we're talking about sectarianism, we're still really talking about the constitutional question. You take the Catholics and Protestants of Northern Ireland and shift them to Liverpool or Toronto or Glasgow, and yes, you do get some kind of trace of the old sectarianism, but generally when the constitutional question isn't in their face, it all eases off and relations become a lot better.
And then we get into some of this report, Phil Kelly. A new anthem for all sports, a shared anthem. Would that work? Would it be acceptable in Northern Ireland?
Look, the report as a whole, like most of these reports, has some common sense things that, you know, just make sense. But things like the anthem, it strike me as something that would be cooked up on the Malone Road in a rugby club, because it doesn't recognise the insidious nature of sectarianism. The fact that this state itself was founded as a sectarian statelet with that very reason. And, you know, the real systemic inequality in our society is the fuel that keeps that sectarian divide going. It serves some people in this society very well, but those within working class communities, it obviously doesn't, because we've seen in Northern Ireland a steady economic decline. So this kind of band-aid, agreed, shared, fluffy kind of PR exercise approach to sectarianism, I think, fails to recognise the reality
of
it.
Come on, that's unfair, isn't it? Some fluffy PR exercise to sectarianism. What? Us all actually being able to go to a sporting event and look upon it as a sporting event and share a song together is fluffy. That's how it should be, Phil, should it not?
I don't think that gets to the heart of the matter. We live in a society where peace walls, as they're called, have stood for longer than the Berlin Wall ever stood. One of the proposals here, which I agree with, lowering the voting age, okay, but think about that. Young people, we never invested after the Good Friday Agreement in that next generation. So lower the voting age, yes, but at the same time, we've lowered the life chances of young people, we've lowered investment in education, we've lowered their ability to have a stake in this society. And if you look at the places where dissident activity is flourishing, if you look at the place where loyalist paramilitaries and drug dealers are flourishing. It's in deprived communities. So the only way to address it is to really rebalance wealth, is to really invest in those communities and lift them up, something they were never delivered after peace was delivered.
The key question, I guess, Maliki, is the next generation, is our younger generation just as sectarian as our generation?
I think certainly there are mechanisms reproducing the whole anxiety. I mean, for instance, one of the things I'd be quite critical of would be the way in which Sinn Féin continues to celebrate the IRA, the murals on the walls which celebrate the loyalists of the past. You know, I think you have a generation which don't quite grasp what it was that these paramilitaries did, you know, like shooting women in the back of the head, cutting people up with knives in back alleys. You know, there's a sense of romanticizing of the stroke war, you know, as if it was all in some ways, you know, ultimately necessary and noble and decent, when it was nothing of the kind. But I think you're also, after the murder of Lyra McKee, you're seeing the emergence of something else, which is, and you see it through the local government election results, the emergence of a middle ground. You're seeing young people. I was up in the Bogside last week with an East owner around, and you saw the defaced dissident murals, for instance. So you're seeing an expansion within the youth culture of the idea that you know, the liberal secular values are more important than the constitutional question, and that that the old chauvinists and the diehards are the problem, and that they're not going to have their way. You know, I mean, I think that's good. I do think it's not as simple as saying that all young people are just as sectarian as our generation was. And I also think within that there's also a kind of a naivety, because there's some young people, you know, and what they're saying is, we're not like you. It was you that did all this, you know, as if it was you know, our generation was kind of uniformly responsible. I think that's wrong as well. But I do think it's quite interesting that there's an emerging radical young middle ground which sees the social and economic issues as being more important than the constitutional one. And I think Phil's right. I mean, Phil is right when he says that you need economic reinforcement of those areas. You can't, on the one hand, you know, patronise people and say that their problems are all their own fault, while you're running down the health service, while you're draining education of funds, and while you're essentially refusing to govern as well, because you know, some other principles are more important than the core right.
Maliki, properly. That's an important point, because, you know, Stephen, you said there about the shared anthem. A lot of the people living in our society are feeding themselves by going to food banks. They're not using, they don't have any disposable income to go and cheer on any team of whatever shade it may be, or sing any particular agreed anthem. It's that grinding poverty. It's been the ability of this society to look away from certain communities, turn their back, let that fester. Derry is a perfect example of a city that has been declining for decades with no investment, and that creates the social problems and the tensions that you see rising. And that is a direct consequence of Derry being ignored, which it has always been, and allowed to decline.
Here's Jim in South Belfast. First call of the day. Morning, Jim.
Hello, good morning, Stephen. Here we go again, year after year after year, the same old chestnut. Let's look at the facts in this country. The vast majority of us, the vast, vast majority of us in this country, have friends and we work with, we socialise with, we live beside peoples of all different faiths, all different colours. It's a tiny minority of people who are sectarian. And people are falling over themselves, oh, this is the reason and that's the reason and the other reason. It starts with how you're brought up. I was brought up in Old Oroshenko. I don't have a sectarian bone in my body. Most of my family...
So why do so many people...
Well, it's not so many people, Stephen. This is the problem.
Well,
it's not so many people. This is where these people come and say, I heard Good Morning Ulster. I don't normally listen to it, but I heard this morning, and it was like an Alliance Party feast. Because it was Duncan Morrow and the other girl who's a member of the Alliance Party.
Duncan Morrow is the author of the report. Rightfully, Good Morning Ulster had him on. He's the author of the report, for goodness sake.
I know, but what I'm telling you is the people who are talking about this all seem to be from the Alliance Party. They feast on this idea of sectarianism, which doesn't...
Well, they would very much deny that, wouldn't they? They would very much deny that. Why don't we just talk about... We're not talking about Alliance today, nor are they on the programme to defend themselves.
What I'm saying, okay, sorry.
So let's not talk about Alliance, and that's unfair what you said.
All right, I'm not talking about Alliance, but I want to talk about the facts. And this is the other thing. You're talking about a one-for-all, one-fits-all anthem, okay?
Yes.
When approached the GAA every year over the past 10 years, I've said the same thing, and that's just their view. They say, we will not be changing our anthem to anything other than the anthem of the Republic of Ireland. That's what they play at their games. They will not be changing the flag either, and they won't consider anything else other than that, because they regard themselves as a single identity sport. And I've heard people on here saying this. And the strange thing about that is they have always committed themselves across community sport. So you can't be both. You understand? But, you know, it's a nonsense to say...
Here are some of the suggested measures from this report, Jim. Tell me if you'd have a problem with any of this. Every school to operate a shared education curriculum.
Yes, 100%.
Leaders of all major churches to run an agreed programme to encourage respect for other faiths.
It already happens.
A new fund to enable better local relationships between the police and young people.
You see, a new fund, you see. This is all about money, isn't it?
And new cross-sporting anthem for all sports.
It doesn't work. Sure, that's what I've set out. You know, if they do the groundwork before they write these reports, Stephen, they will then realise that in writing the report, you wouldn't get off the starting block.
Well, why not? Open up your mind to a possibility that in Northern Ireland in the future, people could stand up and there could be an anthem for Northern Ireland.
Yes, that's absolutely right. But if you have a sporting organisation, one of the biggest sporting organisations, and probably GAA probably are the biggest sporting organisation in Northern Ireland, who say, actually, no, we're not taking part. You know, where did he go with that? It was the same when we were talking about building a new national stadium, where the GAA says, actually, no, we're going to have our own, and, you know, we're going to redevelop the big stadium we have, which, as we know, has fallen through, but nothing has happened. Stephen, you need to start talking to the people who you're going to write
about. At some stage, and maybe it's going to be...
Oh, Lord above.
What do you mean, Lord above?
Years.
What do you mean, Lord above? Let me finish what I'm going to say first.
I'm 57 years of age. Well, I've been hearing this since the 1960s.
Well, that's fine. But what I was about to say was this. At some stage, the older people like you and me and Phil Kelly and Malachy O'Doherty and all of us who are jaded and we're used to what's happened in the past, at some stage, we are going to be blown out of the water by a young generation coming in saying, do you know what? Now Northern Ireland is going to change. Do you know what? We don't recognise those times.
I was the young generation in the 70s and coming through the 80s, wow. Right into the 90s.
Well, if we all think like you, then this place is never going to change.
Sorry, say that again.
If we all think like you, this place is never going to change. You're so pessimistic about the potential for change.
No, I'm realistic. Because what I'm saying to you, do this, right? Go to the Ulster branch today, the GAA, and ask them to come on.
Never been to a GAA match in my life.
Ask them to come on. Go to the Ulster Rugby Union. Ask them to come on, right? That's the people we need to be talking to. Not you, me, Phil Kelly and Malachy, you know.
Making the point itself, really? Aren't you actually making the point that we do have a deeply divided society? Okay, you identify the GAA as being the problem, but you are saying that there's a...
Oh, no, everybody's the problem, Malachy. Everybody's...
Hold on, let Malachy finish.
You started
on
off by saying that you weren't sectarian yourself at all and that the sectarianism was a minority of people, and now you're saying the opposite. But, I mean, I don't see Certainly not. But, sorry.
I'm certainly not. I'm not saying the opposite. I'm not sectarian in any way. I'm looking at the reality. I am saying to you, before any report is written, the author should go and speak to the sporting organisations and say, OK, how do you see this? This is what I see. How do you
the
see
idea
it? It hasn't happened.
Go on, Phil.
The idea that it is sporting organisations or anthems is the problem is delusion and it's sugar-coated nonsense. You talked about young people, Stephen. Your caller talked about young people. We live in a society where we pay over the odds so that we can educate our kids in a segregated system. We have a system of education which rewards those few that go to grammar schools and fails the vast majority of other kids. If we really...
Phil, is another description of a sectarian problem. Look, at the heart of this is a constitutional question, but the outworking of it is all kinds of cultural and social results, so that you have this division of sports, so that you have the segregation of education, and you do need to... address those. And if you can work on people's minds in such a way that they're at least more accommodating. The trouble is, I think, that you've got political parties which have a vested interest in maintaining division because their growth relies on it. But I do think that one of the fundamental things that we have to understand about this society is its instability, the fault line that runs through it, and the consequences when that fault line is irritated.
Okay, here's George next. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen. I think we all admit that there's a wee bit of sectarianism as well, but I think that this idea of the anthem, you know, it's going way, way beyond where we need to be.
Why?
Because, Stephen, I mean, you even listen to the conversation. I'll tell you what the root of the problem is in a minute, but if you even listen to the conversation with Malaga and Phil on there, and, I mean, listen to Phil's description of a state that was founded in sectarianism, you know, that's turned that conversation right into sectarianism already. It's a surgeon of both communities. Republican areas is a dissident problem, loyalist areas is a drug problem. I mean, I can tell Phil and tell the listeners, and you too, that as someone who works in an anti-drugs campaign on a daily basis, it's an inherent problem in all communities and not just in a unionist community. And that's sometimes where the problem lies, the denial that it's in one community or the other. But the heart of this problem, I mean, it's not singing at a football match or singing an anthem. It's when kids go to nursery school and you separate them. And they're separated from nursery school, and they're separated from primary school, and they're separated from secondary school. And the only time they really get to interact and meet is when they're either going to university or they're starting work 16 or 17 years.
Well, this report's also advocating a shared education curriculum.
Yes, well, concentrate on that. Set everything else to the side. I think we got £6 million. I mean, Malachy could correct me, but I don't know. I think we got £6 million, and the executive sent it back to the Treasury because they couldn't decide what to spend it on. Now, £6 million would have been a hell of a start to concentrate.
But surely you can see, George, look, I get it about trying to get to kids as early in life as possible to teach them, you know,
yes,
that sectarianism is a thing of the past. But hold on. But surely it needs to be pressure from both sides, because there's no point given where we're currently at in Northern Ireland, young kids being taught that in school and then going home to parents who are sectarian. You've got to do it from the bottom up and the up down, the top down, don't you? You've got to get to people and make them realise that sectarianism is for wasters.
Yes, and absolutely, it is. And as I say, I mean, we're probably all, I don't think there's anyone listening to this programme or contributing to this programme that could deny that at some stage there was a wee bit of sectarianism.
Look, wise up. Of course, of course they could. No, it's not.
At some stage, you know...
It's embedded. You think everybody's sectarian in some type of way.
No, I didn't say that. I said a small bit at some stage of our day.
Nonsense.
If you grew up during the Troubles, either in thought or in deed, at some stage during
nonsense.
Your life... There's been a
it is nonsense. And George...
Nonsense.
Your identity is no threat to me, and I don't see that as a problem. You know, I'm sure you describe yourself as a staunch unionist, a loyalist. Whatever, and that's no threat to me. The threat is the insipid violence, the bigotry that we need to weed out of all these identities. And I, as an individual, I grew up in East Belfast. My parents lived their whole lives in East Belfast, but they rejected that kind of tribal identity. They're socialist, Marxist, trade unionist, and that's key as well, understanding that what unites working class communities, because it isn't always about working class people or sectarian, and the answer comes from above. As Malachy said, sectarianism has served political vested interest in this society very well for a very, very long time. You need to look
there at... There is another thing, Phil, that we need to be aware of, and that is the number of times in this society the fault line has been played on to such an extent that sectarianism has not been a small thing. The division has been deep and universal. I mean, I think back to the time of the Drumcree protests, go back to the hunger strikes, go back to August 69, and you get moments in which practically everybody is on one side of the line or the other. And when you've got a society which is based on divided politics and an unresolved constitutional question, then you're vulnerable to that happening again. I think what essentially is behind Duncan Morrow's thinking here is an idea that you make Northern Ireland functional. You kind of put the long finger of the constitutional question and let things work and have a sense of pride and respect for the place that we're in. And how is that possible? That
okay, Michael's next. Michael, morning, Michael.
Hey, Steve.
Go ahead, Michael.
Stephen, what is the definition of sectarianism?
Well, you tell me.
Well, I'm not sure, but I don't think difference is sectarianism. Being different, being educated differently.
Well, sectarianism, look, this isn't a dictionary definition, is it? This is off the top of my head. But it is judging someone else because of their religion, because of their background. It is looking unfavorably on someone because of their religion, because of their background. It's disliking someone, hating someone because of their background.
It's
sectarianism, isn't it?
But how do you identify that? You know, some people could look at the 12th of July and say that's sectarian. Some people can look at the GAA and say that's sectarian. To me, it's identity.
Well, sectarianism has more negative connotations than that, hasn't it?
But there's difference in all parts of our society, but difference does not necessarily mean that, you know, that there's hate or there's sectarianism there.
And what's your point?
My point is that I look at the society now, I think we've come on leaps and bounds, and I would agree with one of your callers that previously there that says that having this constant debate about sectarianism is itself very, it's divisive.
Do you know what I'm going to ask the BBC to do? And look, you know what I mean? I ask the BBC to do things every day of the week and they sometimes don't do it. But I'm going to pitch the BBC an idea, which is basically, I wonder would they consider, I would love to know, we keep on talking about the next generation, the younger generation. I would love to know, could we get together some type of robust data, a survey, a deep dive survey into the young generation to see how they are actually thinking, Michael. To see if they are thinking the same as our age group is thinking about all of these issues.
Stephen, in the late 1960s, you had the beginnings of the end of sectarianism in Northern Ireland in the 60s. You had a massive club scene in Belfast. That was the culture that produced Van Morrison and a whole musical revival and even a hippie scene. And that was Belfast in the 1960s. On the month that the violence broke out in August 1969, you had a Pop for Peace concert over in where the Orange Men now meet. And you had Marmalade and Dave D. Dozy, Biggie McIntyre. You had a huge kind of revival, similar to what I think you're beginning to see now, and yet within weeks the axe had fallen and you were into the resumption of a huge amount of sectarian tension. And I do think that the worry is that could happen again. The worry is there is fundamental decency in this society among people who want to hold together and who are neighbourly with each other and want to live good and productive lives, and this damned constitutional question can be played on to incite division and to produce violence. And if it happened before, it happened to an unsuspecting generation which had its minds on other things, and that is what could happen again.
Right, let's bolt through some more calls this morning. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, John.
Today? All right. Mm-hmm. Now, a shared anthem. Curious, how many times is the anthem of any of England or Ireland played on a Saturday afternoon at a soccer match or a Sunday afternoon?
I have no idea. You tell me.
Never. You never. The only time you get an anthem of any description would get a final. So you're talking about one day a year. Now, how in God's name is that going to solve sectarianism?
John, thank you. And another John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. See that. This has raised its head again about a shared national anthem. What is wrong with our national anthem? You go to any country in the world and they have pride in their national anthem. So who's being sectarian? Those who don't accept our national anthem or those who sing our national anthem?
John, thank you. And Brian in West Belfast. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. I've listened to everything and I agree with everything you said, Stephen, and your guests, but I haven't heard much. I mean, the word sectarianism will never go away in Northern Ireland. And the younger generation will always have the same problem. We have an organisation that marches five months a year, having 3,000 parades every year. How can that change?
Brian, thank you. And Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Hello, listen, we're talking a lot about young people. I mean, I think what the tragedy is that 20 years on to a Good Friday Agreement, we still have our children going to separate schools. You know, Phil said they're a bit lower in the voting age. What's the point of giving a 16-year-old a vote whenever they may never have met a Catholic in their life or met a Protestant in their life because they went to separate schools? And I think that we should have, 20 years ago, we should have mixed the primary schools. We shouldn't, especially in small rural villages, we shouldn't have two schools, or we shouldn't have half the children bussed to another village to make up the numbers in their particular brand of education.
Alex, thank you very much indeed.